creative journey is not an easy one. We're here to help. The Lightning Rod is a safe space to talk about branding, marketing, business, and the creative industry. Today's episode is hosted by Tammy and Min.
And we are back. Hello, my name is Min Nguyen, and welcome to Freelancing Month. So I wanted to have a conversation with Tammy because, once again, we come from two different perspectives on this issue, and we really want to have a conversation about it. So let's dive into the episode. You read the title. You know why we're here. We're going to be talking about the pros of freelancing. And later on in another episode, we'll be going over in more explicit detail the cons of freelancing. But today, let's just talk about the positives of it. And keep in mind that our experiences are our own experiences. And I come from the world of freelancing for mostly, at the time being, private commission work, because I'm currently a graduate student pursuing my MFA in illustration. So right now I'm in a very privileged position where I don't have to constantly be taking on client work, and it's been kind of slowing down just so I can focus on my graduate degree and move on to the next stage of my life. But before I entered my graduate degree, I still took on freelancing work a little bit more rigorously than at the time being. But Tammy is going to tag in and talk about some of her freelancing work and some of her client work as well.
Mm-hmm. And probably also tagging on some agency level expertise, just because at The Creative Folks, we are a branding agency. So just kind of throwing in some advice or some second thoughts on that.
But I think you and me, when we were scripting this episode, I think that our experiences, even though we come from different clients and we come from different marketing perspectives and different freelancing perspectives, I think that there's a lot of things that we still had in common. The number one thing that we had in common was the ability to turn down a client.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like that it's number one, because especially, like, I do want to make that disclaimer that I think in the beginning is always a lot harder. So when we say, like, turning down clients, that's like after years of working in this field and knowing our worth, knowing our style, knowing the clients that we go after, both in the freelancing setting, the private commissions, and in the agency setting. There are clients that we say no to, like, as an agency. There's clients I say no to as a freelancer, and same thing for men, which we've discussed before.
I think that when I turn down a client, that always sounds very harsh and very, like,
yeah,
critical, but it's usually 9 times out of 10 when I turn down a client, it's mostly because I personally feel like I cannot fulfill the needs that they want. And it would be more of a struggle and more of a just more time consuming for both parties involved for me to take on this work. So for example, one of the big reasons why I turn down a client is because the request that they're asking for me is to draw in a style that I am frankly unfamiliar with, or that's just not really my style, or that's not really my, I don't know how to say this other than it's just not really what I do. But of course, when I work in a studio setting, or when I work for more of my visual development work in that space, I will have to adapt to a new style. I take a style test, and, you know, I may pass or fail it depending on what's going on. But for my individual client work, my individual private commission work, if I feel like I'm not a good fit for you, then it's nothing personal. It's just, I want you to have the best end product that will look great on your wall or for your decor, and I might not be the artist for it. So that's usually 9 times out of 10 why I turned down a client.
That's super fair. And I think that's so wholesome. For us, it's similar in a way. My kind of borderline is really like something me and Min discussed before. Anything religious, like, I just don't tackle religious work as a freelancer. And then when I hopped over to doing agency for the TCF, I still did not accept any religious work. We get a lot of it. We get a lot of churches, temples, etc., requesting us to work with them. But I always say no, just because it's not my space and I don't really want to dive into it. So I just had rather not take it on because I feel like someone could do it better.
Sure. No, I agree with you. And I think that's very appropriate to set that kind of healthy boundary, as long as you're setting that boundary for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And yep. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. And we've talked about this in a previous episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that dives into the next point that I really love, is that you do have total creative control over your brand as a freelancer versus as when you're working with a company, you kind of assimilate to their branding. And their corporate model. So, I mean, there's instances, for example, where I see people have business cards, but they'll have business cards with their name on it and their contact information, but it will be under a larger brand. So they'll all have, like, you know, a similar business card, or they'll all have a similar kind of look and feel to them because they're working under a specific corporate model. And that's mm-hmm. perfectly fine. And that's perfectly acceptable. But in the freelancing world, I think one of the nicest perks is that you have total creative control. So everything down to the way that I construct my emails, the way that I construct my voice messages, my invoices, everything that I do in terms of my Instagram, my social media marketing, my online marketing, the way that I construct my advertisements, the way that I construct my entire brand. I'm building myself a website currently that I'm still working on. I am so far behind it. But again, that's on me. You know, that's on me. Mm-hmm. All of that is on me. And that can be very stressful, but at the same time, also very liberating.
Yeah, that's fair. And I agree with this, because me working as a freelancer, the branding was way different from what we brand ourselves at The Creative Folks. So when we're talking to any client, we speak with unity. So we don't use like I's or like first person terms, unless like it's a direct conversation with just like a one-on-one client. But if we're speaking like overall, like potential proposal, or this is a potential client, no matter who's typing that email, it's we type in uniform, just because I think that brings the brand across better, and we are a team. So I feel like that discloses us a little bit better. But as a freelancer, I didn't have to do that. I had a lot of creative room or creative freedom overall, versus in the agency space, we don't really have that creative freedom. We kind of have to cater to what it is.
No, exactly. Like, I remember when I saw your freelancing website, it was very different than the way you run The Creative Folks, because your brand, I mean, first of all, first and foremost, your logo design was essentially just your name. It was Tammy Nguyen, and it was like a beautiful, it was like a gorgeous anchor, and it was very personal to you. And I remember you explained it to me one time. We were having a conversation over coffee, and I asked you, like, you know, why did you pick an anchor? And it was because you felt very grounded. And I thought that was a very beautiful explanation for why you chose that. But that's very personal to Tammy Nguyen. That's not The Creative Folks.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't even think that story would come across too good if I were to explain it to like a potential client for TCF. It probably just wouldn't make sense. But it would make sense for like an individual person like me.
So, exactly. Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying, is that that's the cool thing about being your own marketing agency. You are your own marketer, your own social media marketing person. You are your own, I guess you're your own PR person. You're your own everything. You are
everything.
Everything. Literally. Yeah. And that brings me on to my next point, that I think it's a perfect transition, is that when I accept freelancing work, especially, I'm going to say especially for my private commissions, because there are freelancing situations where I am more in an office setting. I'm currently in a situation very similar to that. But I would say for my my personal and private commission work, what's really nice is that the client, they're choosing me. They're choosing my logo. They're choosing my brand. They're choosing me as a human being, you know? So it is very, there is a great intimacy to that, because they like my style. They either found me on Instagram and they like my art, they found me through my website, or they found me however they found me. Most likely, most of the time for me personally, they find me on Instagram and they like what they see, and then they will commission me based on that. So when they're buying my product, essentially they're also buying my brand, and they're buying into the image that I have put out into the world, which mm-hmm. number one, it's very, just to get wholesome, it's very sweet. Like, I find that very, very lovely. It's cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, it's like, it's really nice, because I don't usually, whenever I, again, it's mostly for my private commission work. Whenever I do that, I don't have to adapt to a new style, because no, they want my style. That's the style that they want. Versus if I do freelancing work that is for a studio setting, I do have to, most likely I have to take a style test. Most likely I have to conform or adopt to a new style that I might not be super familiar with. And mm-hmm. because that is for the greater good of a project, like a film or a movie or a totally different entity that requires every single artist to follow a style guide. And that's fine too. I love those kinds of environments. I think that it's a great challenge. I think that it's really fun and very rewarding. I personally don't do a whole lot of that work. I am doing something like that right now where I did have a style guide and I have a mood board that was given to me by my employer, which I can't go into too much detail about the project itself because I did sign an NDA. But basically, all I can really say is that I had to conform to that style versus my freelancing work. It's like my private commission work. It is essentially you want me.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair, because when I did freelance design as well, even though I feel like in my space, I definitely had to do a lot of conforming, because even though they picked me for like maybe the cleanness or like maybe the pricing, some external factor. But then I had to apply that design knowledge that they're purchasing, basically apply it to their brand or apply it to the thing that I'm making for them. So in some kind of way, it's similar, but I definitely think in the illustration in where like the work is so personalized like that, that's definitely like applied. However, in like surely like film or videography, photography, and even graphic design, a lot of the times you do have to do some conforming just to fit the brand, even though they did choose you, but just to fit it.
Right. No, absolutely. I agree. But yeah, like essentially I personally think that that's one of the nice things about being a freelancer. And another nice thing I would say is, we'll get into the cons of this, but at the same time, I love working with my clients to set everything, like setting the schedule, setting the hours, setting my time. And we'll talk more about this in the cons, but for right now, the big pro of that is my office day. Typically, my typical routine will be very, very chill. It will be, I will wake up around, I would say, 9 o'clock, and I will just sit at my computer. I'll work. And if I feel like I don't want to work around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will stop and I will do whatever I need to do. And then I can come back at 2:30. I can come back at 4 o'clock. I can come back whenever I want, or I could have the authority to say I'm done for the day. I typically don't like to do that. I like to be a little bit more strict with my work schedule just because I personally need that kind of discipline for myself. Yeah. But in theory, I could end my workday anytime I want to end my workday, as long as I'm meeting the client's requirements and I'm meeting those deadlines in the hours that we agreed upon. Essentially, the workday is mine to do with however I please, versus a more structural corporate setting. I'm really going by someone else's hours, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense, because you get to do a lot of the scheduling on your end. Even most of the times, like I want to say 8 times out of 10, like the client is probably not going to really chime in on the schedule. They're just going to say like, oh, well, if say, for example, if they're paying you per hour, they'll let you know like, okay, I can afford like whatever hours, or like you guys set that up in the beginning, whatever the case is. But generally, they won't chime in about the schedule. Like you basically work whenever you want to, as long as the project gets done, versus like in definitely that corporate setting. So when we say corporate, we're talking about like either a freelancer working for a company or something of that sort, or working for an agency, just so that's super clear. In those settings, you definitely do have to work according to the schedule. Like for example, 9 to 5, 8 to 4 o'clock, something like that, because that's business hours for them. And you have to, again, conform to that structure. Even if you are coming in as a freelancer, as an independent contractor, because you're working for them, they would like you to kind of work at the scheduled times. So that does play like a lot of, you know, different effects. So if you want it to be like an independent and you got your own clients, there's a lot of cons to it, which we'll talk about. But that's also the other side to it. If you work for an agency, is that the schedule may not be exactly all there, but it's something that you can propose though. I don't want to discourage anybody from not working for an agency, because it definitely has its good stuff. Even though the schedule is a little bit like more structured.
It's funny because technically this work that I'm doing for the creative folks is, in many ways, it is freelancing work. I am contracted like a freelancer. And it's really quite interesting, because if I were to dive into our personal conversations, just so we can be vulnerable with the audience, I think what's really cool is that, you know, we are very similar. Our relationship is very similar to a traditional private client of mine, where we have set aside the contract where we say, these are the hours, this is the amount of work, and this is the deadlines that you want. And all those expectations are met in a timely manner, where basically when I script an episode or when I work on an episode, I just work on it. And as long as it's meeting the deadline, I have never one time have you ever like chimed in and be like, are you taking a nap? You know?
Yeah. And I think that is like a company culture thing that I really like to encompass. So everybody on our team works the exact same way. I literally just talk to them. Here is what we need to get done. Some of them do have a deadline, like, okay, it's a hard stop. Like, I need it done in 2 days. You can work on it whenever, though. It just needs to be done in 2 days. So I try to keep that structure. But I mean, like, to put it on the record too, I don't know if that's going to last forever. Like, if say that we do like do super well in the next like 4 years, are we going to stay the same where everybody is on like a really good salary and all that stuff? Will we be the same where we can just work whenever? I don't know. It's something to discuss, you know?
That is something to discuss. But I actually want to move this conversation into something that we talked about when I was scripting this episode. Talking about office politics and like, you know, we are, interestingly enough, the creative folks right now, we're kind of a hybrid company where we hire freelancers like myself, but we also have an office politics that is different than the traditional corporate setting. But one thing that I was a little hesitant to talk about with this episode, because I didn't want to come off as offensive to anybody, but I noticed in more traditional corporate settings, there are office politics that come off as very toxic. Maybe I'm not going to promise this. I might write a whole episode on it, but some office politics, I mean, it appears in every industry, whether or not it's in a corporate setting. I've seen this attitude, as we talked about before, in the gallery world. I've seen this attitude anywhere. Wherever there is any form of work done, essentially, is like nepotism, favoritism, things like that. But then also like smaller nitpickier things like CCing everyone on emails, or like basically sucking up to your boss, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those kind of toxic elements of office politic culture. And I've noticed that people are becoming more self-aware of it. And maybe that is like kind of the old norm of the office world. I've noticed more people are more self-aware of these kinds of issues, but I want to make this disclaimer, is that I think in the freelancing world, there is a separate form of office politics, because I've seen multiple articles talking about the pros of freelancing, and they'll say, oh, there's no office politics. I somewhat disagree with that. I think there's just a different set of them.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, because I think if, as someone that has, that is working in corporate, like corporate America, like the traditional 9-to-5, literally, and then comparing it to like having to work in freelance, there are definitely similarities in office politics. It's just a matter of like maybe how big the team is, or if you're working independently. But if you're independent freelancer and you're working with like another team of like a company or an agency, there is still a lot of office politics in between. Like, no matter where you go, like Min said, it's everywhere and you can't avoid it. So don't for a second think like there's no office politics as an individual freelancer. There is definitely some there.
Because yeah, that was an issue I saw when I was scripting this episode. I did a little research, and some of the articles I've seen, they'll say like, oh, a freelancer, there's going to be less office politics or none. No, it's just you're not dealing with the traditional corporate model of office politics. But I would say that there's still the same amount, is just different, and a totally different world. So I will say for the positive is that you're not dealing with that specific environment, but you are dealing with your own separate environment of office politics that are different.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a good
closing. And that's a great transition, I think, into our next episode, where we will talk about the cons of working freelance. And we might spill the tea, we might not, but it's going to
we'll see how we're feeling.
Yeah, we'll see how we feel when the scripting is done and everything is completed. But for right now, these were the pros, and we both love working freelance. And honestly, when I finish with my graduate degree, I want to go back into it a little bit more seriously. It's always a joy working freelancing. This is a freelance job for me currently, and it's a joy. It really is. I'm not just saying that like in front of my boss, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually so glad that the episode, like, if you took nothing away from this, what I really appreciate about this episode overall is that we're not covering the typical freelance stuff. So a lot of people, when they talk about like the pros, like quote unquote pros of freelancing, they talk about pricing. They're like, oh, we can price our own stuff, which is true. Like, we mentioned this, you have your own little bit of control there. You can price, you can have your own schedule in some kind of way. You can kind of like go take a nap if you want to, all of that stuff. So yes, those are pros, but we are also talking about, you know, you can turn down clients. You can have office politics if you so choose to do so. You will face them. And, you know, you have your fair share of like good, bad clients, no matter what it is. So there's a lot of like pros to it that I think a lot of people don't talk about. They only focus on like the lifestyle, like having like being your own boss and then having your own pricing structure. You don't have to like pay somebody else or anything like that. You just hone in all the money. I think that's so like, it's not shallow, but I think it's so like,
I think it's
such
reductive.
A different way.
You no, said I think
it's what?
It's a little reductive to me because I mean, yeah. It's more to it than that.
Way more. And I think it shows in our like passion and our experience, like even though you're working freelance with me, but it's enjoyable. Like you find joy in it. And I think that's the goal of freelancing is like, while you are trying to make a living out of it, there is joy, there is passion in doing something that you like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to close this episode. Thank you so much for listening and joining us for Freelancer Month.
Yeah, more content to come.
All right. So as I said, our next episode will be the cons of freelancing. But for right now, thank you for joining us. My name is Min Nguyen.
And I'm Tammy Nguyen.
We're signing out. Bye.
Adios.
Did you know that we have an entire content library for you to learn from? Check out our website for more information. Thanks for tuning in today. The Lightning Rod is powered by the creative folks.